plate a potential nugget.
And staying with families, Tarun, when you think about how the baton gets passed from one generation to another, you know, when you look at entrepreneurs that have built successful businesses, what have you seen as some of the practices and the way they deal with the next gen in terms of giving them, you know, autonomy to pursue what they want, at the same time, you know, thinking about sort of the custodianship of a business, if such a term exists, and setting them up for success. So can you talk a little bit about that transition from one generation to another?
There are a few things that jump to mind. It's not obviously a comprehensive answer, but some observations. Well-run families often have a period of apprenticeship for the next generation, where someone, the next generation, first of all, there has to be some kind of filtering process to decide whether someone is interested in joining. And if he or she is interested in joining, then do they have the competence to do it? And if so, how can it be nurtured to see how far they can go? Lots of families talk about this. Bajaj interviews talk about this. I think, if I remember correctly, Ali Godrej's interview talks about this. The Murugappas in the South talk about this, and so on. The Ayala family definitely talks about it. Various businesses in West and East Africa, you see it. So this is a theme that comes up all the time, is that how do you decide whether X person in the next generation has the interest and the competence to do this? And if not, can we find a different way to help them fulfill their aspirations, whatever they might be? I'm reminded of a close friend who I'll leave unnamed because they're in the book. They're a Middle Eastern family in the book, and the oldest brother in the current generation said to me that, for goodness sake, you know, it's the biggest, one of the biggest businesses in this part of the world, but I have zero interest. I want to be a painter, but I live in Europe. And, you know, to their credit, the family orchestrated it so that he's a painter in Europe. Not a very good one of that, but so be it.
It's a choice.
His aspirations. and, you know, a much younger person took over the main business. So I think those are hallmarks of good
stewardship. And if I stay with that, Tarun, in terms of navigating that conversation of skill and will, interest and competence, is that, do you see these families work with somebody to get to a meaningful place, or is it sort of an internal discussion? Is there an insight into how they sort of how this unfolds?
You know, Deepak, on that I couldn't really be sure. I can say from my own personal experiences with maybe half a dozen families in India that I've had the pleasure and privilege of knowing for at least 20 to 30 years, that they've all struggled. Some have struggled with candor and good humor, and some have struggled mightily and unpleasantly. So it's a little hard for me, a bit disingenuous for me to draw generalizations. There's a whole industry of advisors who specialize in family transitions, and I'm sure they can be quite useful. But certainly having someone who is singled out as the most respected in the previous generation is almost, I venture to say, is a necessary condition for transitioning, because there has to be someone who's orchestrating and people respect. And even the transitions that I can think of in Indonesia, Kenya, South Africa, India, Pakistan, that are going on right now that I personally know, all have this characteristic that there is a person who everybody respects. He or she is driving it. And there are usually one or two trusted counselors on the outside who are just lending a ear and trying to give an impartial opinion. But it's a tricky process. I mean, how many of us have seen, I mean, I've seen this in the academic community, you know, to take a different context, right? Someone has been a very successful academic, in an institution like mine, which is quite visible, and they don't want to let go, right? Because that's what they do. And what else would I do? I wake up tomorrow morning. So you convince yourself that it's in everybody's interest that you stick around, even probably usually long after it is in everybody's interest that you stick around. So I've told my wife that if I get to that point, she should drag me out. Take me home. So,
Got it. I think on that note, you refer to the Murugappa group in the book, and you speak about the notion of someone called a karta. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Somebody, not necessarily the elderly, but somebody who's formally appointed as, as a person who could sort of solve some of these tricky situations like that. Have you seen any, could you sort of expand on that, or can you think of other parallels where companies formally
there's a very prominent North Indian industrial family, where there are multiple brothers in the current generation, one of whom is a spectacular operator and would-be CEO, and the other is a spectacular ambassador at large. And each would be terrible at the other's job. And so one could imagine that there's a very nice division of responsibilities where someone is like, in India, you would say the foreign minister, and someone is the prime minister, so to speak, or in the US, you'd say secretary of state and the president, right? They divide up the responsibilities. I have to say that that's a bit rarer than I would like it to be. So the Murugappas make it sound like that is a pretty traditional practice in their community and at that time, and I'm sure it is. But the situation that I just described with this North Indian family, I wish it were more common. Usually you have somebody who rises to the top and takes charge, and he or she thinks they can do it all. And of course, nobody can. So it could be better. Let's just put it that way in most cases. But Deepak, we're all human beings, so we all have plenty of rough edges. I certainly do. So.
All of us do. Coming back to Harsh Mariwala, he speaks about appointing somebody that has everyone's trust to get the family to a fair and a meaningful outcome for everybody.
If we have a mediator who is trusted by each and every family member, being neutral, being fair, then that is a big, big asset in any negotiation. And we appointed Mr. Bipin Shah, who was earlier in Lipton's as a director, and also on Hindustan Lever as a director, Lipton chairman.
Understand.
He was known to my father, my uncle, so he was in that age group.
Understand.
But the negotiations were done by me and my cousins, and none of the elders were involved in negotiations. But he was there as trusted, because he was in that age group which of my father and my uncles, and he played an important role in driving consensus. It had to be a little bit of a give and take in terms of what we want to do. So I think that played a very, very important role, and we had to do it in a structured manner, go one by one rather than just, if they're afraid temper, then he would again play an important role. So nobody should be allowed to go back, because many a times, what happens is you discuss something, you finalize something in a family meeting today, and after this 1 month, they will say, no, this is not agreeable. So he played that role, he was there in the meeting. He was fully aware of what was happening, and if something went off track, he would intervene. But otherwise, negotiation would be handled by us. He would guide us, but he would not take sides.
Thank you for listening.